Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. This is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. We're continuing along with one of our film weeks this week. All of our guests this week are involved in film or television, and it's very, very cool. I like these shows, and I like these daytime shows, too, because it breaks up my day, and, you know, then I got plenty of time to do other things in the evening. I like doing all these shows. They're very cool. Today, we've got a filmmaker on, he has a fantastic new film out called Crisis Hotline, and I'd like to welcome everybody. This is Mr. Mark Schwab. Mark, how are you?
I am fantastic, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was having a bit of a crisis right before we went on the air. I don't know. Something's going on over at Facebook, man. And it all of my friends disappeared and then reappeared suddenly. I was like, wow, I just lost thousands of friends. I wonder what's going on. I think they might be having some kind of issue or something. So they're all showing now, and I was going to say my timeline or my I don't know what you call it, the friend feed or whatever, or the feed was going to get real dull if nobody was on there. Hey, I loved this film. I watched it the other day. This is a fantastic film. It's a thriller. There's a nutty killer in it, but it's LGBT based also, which is very cool and a sign of the times and whatnot. Fantastic film. Now,
Thank you.
Had this idea for this film? You wrote it also, right?
I did. Yeah, I did write it, and I had had this idea. I'd kind of done a very different version earlier, like in 2001. I had done a real small independent film, and when I was gonna do a new movie, I decided it was time to more than just update that, but to augment it. And I really added a lot of different layers to it. And Crisis Hotline ended up being a much more complex film than I originally kind of intended. I intended just to kind of make a genre film that would sell, that would be fun, that would be absorbing. And it ended up becoming much more than that, with a lot more complexity, and I couldn't be more pleased with the result.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I lived in Southern California for about a decade after college. And when that happens, you make friends all up and down the coast, you know, and I knew quite a few people in that San Jose, Silicon Valley area, especially when it started heating up a few years ago. And how you in the film, and I don't want to give any of it away because I want people to see it. I want them to go on the same type of ride I did, because it was very cool. But one of the layers that I liked, or one of the things you alluded to, was the character gets a high paying job, he's geeked out, man, making all this money, and then is hit in the face with the cost of living in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, that character gets
far.
Absolutely. And I've known many people personally that have moved here from various states and think they've done well, and they have done well.
Won the lottery.
The Silicon Valley job. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of opportunity out here, but then because of the housing issues, they are shocked at how it doesn't go very far. And that's just one thing our character realizes symbolically, that he's naive. He's not aware of how this new world works, and he keeps getting himself in deeper and deeper into greater and greater danger.
Well, and exactly, and you know, it just reminded me of a lot of people I've known over the years and whatnot, and who shall remain nameless for their protection.
Sure.
But I did know some people from moved out to the that area from the Midwest, and yeah, life's a lot faster, a lot different, very different socially, whether you be gay or straight or what the scene is. Very, very
certainly
different. And moves quickly. And you better have some thick skin. That's one of the things. You know, it's interesting. Before I moved to California, everybody was always like, oh, well, people get soft in California. And I'm like, but when I was out there, I remember I'd been out there for about 5 years or so. And I'm like, man, I don't see that many soft people out here. This is pretty cutthroat everywhere I turn, you know, in all these different scenes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just the way it is. Well, this is a great film, and the it takes place, ladies and gentlemen, of course, big surprise, partially with the crisis hotline part of it moves the film, it's kind of the venue of the film, of the story. And I had never thought about a crisis hotline, to be honest with you, Mark, until I was watching this, and I'm like, man, I bet they do get a lot of crazy calls of people just lonely and wanting to talk. And, you know, have you ever worked at one of those or known somebody?
No, I haven't. I have known people who have. And it's interesting, actually, because when I first researched this idea back in, you know, 2000, I spoke to people who had worked at crisis hotlines and stuff. So I thought I had a pretty good idea of what it was. But when I was doing this new script and I went back, I said, you know, I think I'm just going to do a little more research, updated research. And I'm very glad I did, because I really learned that it's really changed in the past 18 years, as far as the life of a traditional crisis hotline operator. It seemed in a lot of my research that the real crisis calls have been lowered dramatically. They still come in every so often, but much less than they did in the pre-2001 days. And so I had to adjust it accordingly. And yeah, like, for example, there were a couple of crisis hotlines I came across that their standard policy was, you know, 20 minutes and out, you know, if it's not serious,
right,
you got to be done. And also just that very few are actual real threatening crisis calls. It's a lot of, exactly like you said, people who are just want to talk, or they just want to complain, or they just want to, you know, even get turned on by it, and that's it. And so that's why I wrote that into the script, kind of to establish that our lead character is not experiencing what he thought he was going to experience as being a crisis hotline operator.
Right. Yeah. He's almost having, he's very cynical at the beginning, and well, you know, and then gets swept into this journey, kind of. Very, very interesting. Very cool film. I had not seen. This is something that excites me, Mark. I'm an old man, you know. I'm old. And when you get old like me, you've seen a lot, and that sounds great, but it really isn't, because you see the same thing happen again and again. And but what it does is I get excited about new ideas. And I hadn't really seen this idea before. Just sucked me in, man. It was a great film.
I'll tell you, that's exactly what motivates me as a filmmaker, because I'm not a spring chicken myself. You know, I'm an 80s teenager, you know, I totally agree with you. A lot of the films that I see, I've loved film. I've loved it since I was, you know, 8 years old, basically. And I now am seeing just so many repeats, so many of the same thing, that any project that I want to work on, and as you know, as you can imagine, making a film is a year of your life completely, at least, you know,
matter.
Yeah, it's got to
right.
matter. And so, one of the things that matters to me is making something that no one's seen before, hopefully. And if I'm fortunate enough to get something that I've written produced, it's going to be something that I think people haven't seen before, because I've seen a lot of movies over the years, and I think I have a pretty good idea of what's been done over and over again. I think it's because, you know, people, it seems like at least United States moviegoers, they don't want to take chances anymore. They want to know what they're going to see. They don't want to spend time on something that might not be good. And so that's why we keep seeing just the same thing over and over and over again. Because they don't want to be surprised, but hopefully I've ridden that line well, where it's something they haven't seen and it keeps them absorbed, and they'll be surprised by the end of it, I think.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Bay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget. For novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, tosots.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was at a hockey party this weekend, of all things. My gal's really into hockey. You know, I was a good wife. I went and hung out with the other wives. But it was a lot of cocktails. It was fun. And apparently some action was happening on the TV I really wasn't following. But I was talking to one of the people there, and this guy, he's a movie guy. Thank God for him. He goes, him and his wife go weekly. Every Friday night, they go to, you know, an actual theater and sit in a chair and buy popcorn and all that and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. And they had just seen, I was at this thing on Saturday, and they had just seen the new Elton John bio doc. And he said, I let my daughter pick the film. I didn't even know that film was out. And, he wanted to see Godzilla, and they went and saw Elton John. And he's like, it was so phenomenal. And I was so taken by surprise, and I didn't even know about it. And I was just blown away. And he just talked all night about this film. And I said, well, that goes to show exactly what you're saying. People want to see something that they're not necessarily expecting. Now, let me ask you this, Mark, because here we are. Mm-hmm. And this is integral part of the story. I mean, is an LGBT viewpoint. You know, that this is the world we're looking into while watching this film. Was that a, making the film is one hat you wear, but then, getting it made, getting the money, investors, all of that, was that a hard sell coming from that world or not so much? I'm hoping not
well,
so much.
Not necessarily. And you know, it has LGBT characters, but it's not pushing an agenda, we could say. It does come from that world, but there's no political agenda here. It's just trying to be an absorbing thriller that happens to have LGBT characters. And as far as raising the money, no, it was incredibly simple because it was me and my executive producer that put in the money. So that made it easy. We don't necessarily want to do that again.
Right.
But at the same time, luckily, my co-partner in the business, executive producer and editor, excellent editor Mark Balunas, and I were clear that this was something worth doing and that it could work. And I certainly couldn't have made the film without him, that's for sure. In fact, I couldn't have made the film without all the people that worked on it. I mean, it's
right.
Very difficult to make an independent film, and especially without any sort of studio backing or anything like that. And it was an incredible learning experience making it. It's kind of the biggest film I've made. I've made a lot of, kind of art housey film festival kind
mm-hmm.
of films, but this is the first time that we decided, we're gonna. Darn it, we're going to actually make a real movie, but a movie that's going to get a real distributor and make a bigger splash. Let's do it for real, not just for the film festival laurels anymore. And so
right.
We're really pleased with how it's gone so far.
Well, I'm telling you, it's and it resonated at our house. My gal Danny, my fiance, she now this kind of worried me when we first got together because she loves these murder shows. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And, she'll watch these whole networks where it's just, 48 hour, all these detective, killer shows.
Sure.
And, some woman's always getting it done over by some guy and out comes the arsonist,
mm-hmm.
Those types of deals. And then I said, well, hey, check this out with me. And we sat down and watched it. And she's like, this is fantastic. I love it. So really, you're right. The LGBT thing was really here, and from her perspective, at least, and mine, was really here nor there. It's just things the characters happen to be, which
mm-hmm.
is cool. That's a cool thing, I think. This was a great film. I'm a sucker for a thriller, too. I like a thriller, and this one, it was almost like an onion. There kept being layers and layers, and you got more information as the film progressed. Fantastic film, man. Was this a long time
you.
To write this film? I mean, I know you were updating and augmenting it, but I'm sure you sat down at some point and said, okay, here we go. Was that a month process or a couple days, Jack Kerouac style?
I'll be very honest. I went to took my laptop, went to a coffee shop
nice.
Every morning, and
I love it.
Kind of got the triple shot,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote the first draft in 6 days, 6 days straight.
Wow.
And it was it's definitely the fastest thing I've ever written. And it was just kind of there on the page. And then I got some very good advice on the first 10 to 15 pages, because one thing that I've tended to do in my earlier work is I didn't understand that when you begin a movie, and especially if you're going to begin something like a genre film, true genre film, mm-hmm. there are some rules that are really helpful to follow. And I got good advice about, she told me, look at look at some of your favorite thrillers and watch the first 10 to 15 minutes of them, 10 minutes preferably. And I did that. And even though I had seen these films many times before, I was shocked at how much key information happens in that 10 minutes. Whereas before, I would take a long time in my other films to get the audience into the key info they needed. And so that really helped me rewrite those first 10 pages or so to say, okay, it has to hit these points to set up quickly so that I can really start ramping up the tension. And that really helped. But the script is pretty close to that original first draft. And the only reason it's close to that first draft, it's not because I was, auteur, jerk or anything at all. We had such positive response from other people that worked on the film and the cast, especially that why change it really? And, didn't really need to change much. So it's pretty much as I wrote it after 6 days. Yeah.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
Because it was just there. I was pretty inspired. Yeah, I was pretty inspired, pretty motivated too. Very motivated.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I was watching this and I almost got a I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people. Mm-hmm. But I'm that guy in the neighborhood who's building the outdoor theater in their backyard and annoy my friends. I'm like, oh, you have to watch this. And they're like, not subtitled. That's my friend. But I was watching this film. So with that in mind, I'm watching this film. And one of the things I really liked, it almost had a noir feeling to it with the lighting, in terms of the lighting. And, a lot of shadows, a lot of dark. And then juxtaposition, when he's happy, when things are going good, it's very bright, the scenes and whatnot. There was this, and it got darker and darker. And I don't know if that was done intentionally, but it was just something I noticed. And I thought it was cool.
Let me tell you, that's how we got a hold of, which was really the game changer for Crisis Hotline, was when Dante Yor came into the picture. And that's our cinematographer, our director of photography. Mm-hmm. Dante Yor, I had one of the things that me and Mark Balunas, my co-executive producer, said that we wanted to do is we wanted to get a top-of-the-line cinematographer. for this, because Mark and I, we know how to shoot film. You know, we know how to shoot movies. We know what an f-stop is, but, you know, we know enough to be dangerous, kind of. I mean, we can get it done, but
right.
we're not full-time cinematographers. So we said it's time to get a full-time cinematographer. So I was looking at a lot of reels, a lot of, you know, cinematographer reels, and I started looking locally first, and a lot of the local ones in the Bay Area were perfectly nice. They were good. But they shot a lot of, like, corporate videos and a lot of, you know, iPhone commercials and stuff. And that's not necessarily cinematic. And then
right.
So I looked at about 20 or 30. And then I finally came across Dante's reel, and it was his reel was composed of a lot of stuff that was kind of exactly as I pictured the movie. And I said, man, this guy's great. And then I looked up his resume and I went, oh, boy, he's shot, you know, million-dollar features, and he's worked with Mina Savari
right.
and Kevin Pollak. I mean, big names, you know. And I'm going, oh, boy, well, I got to try. You know, I've got to at least reach out to him. And
oh,
so
all I can say is
I
no,
did.
Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. A no is free, right? And no costs nothing. And so I reached out to him and I said, hey, you know, I'm shooting this film. And I gave him the script. I sent him the script right away. I said, I want you to read this. If it's something that you're interested in, I would love to try and negotiate a way for you to shoot the movie. And he got back to me almost immediately. And my goodness, he had a brilliant dissertation of the color schemes, everything. It was like getting a master class. And we were able to negotiate a way for him to do it. And he brought his crew up to the Bay Area he's from Hollywood. He works in Hollywood. And he came up and did just a phenomenal job. I became a much better filmmaker because of him. And the thing that was also really, really good, and this is what I would tell independent filmmakers who might be listening to this, you'd be surprised what the right script in the right hands, you can get people, you know, you can, they will get on board. And one of the things I asked Dante, I said, when, you know, maybe it's about day three of shooting, I said, I just got to ask you, man. I mean, you're getting big films and you shoot big stuff. I mean, what really did it, you know, for this? And he said, I could see the whole movie. I could see it. I could see all those scenes visually. And when I can see those scenes visually, I know it's worth doing and it's exciting. And what Dante did, he just created, this is another thing that he taught me, which again, for you filmmakers out there, everybody talks about like world creation. You know, you got to build a world with your film. And a lot of people think that has to be, you know, on another planet or a sci-fi or something like that. And it really doesn't. Dante showed me how we could create a world in a dramatic, you know, grounded in reality film. That's what I think, hopefully, that you're tuning into is that, you know, it has that quality of this impending dread, this tightening of a horrific situation that is engulfing this character. And it's all done visually. So
and
that's kind of how much he brings to it. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. And I don't want to leave out, you had mentioned, you know, how everybody working on the film and whatnot. Excellent casting on this film. All the actors and whatnot and actress involved in the film. Fantastic. Out of the park, man. Out of the park. Incredibly believable, relatable, resonated to me. And
thank you.
Did
well,
you know
a lot
of people, or did you go through a company?
No.
Or?
No. I really got lucky because remember we had I think I mentioned earlier before we were very, very motivated because we were working on a very tight timeline. We had to, at the time we really wanted to get the film ready. We wanted to try and get it into the American film market. And, you know, we were sitting on literally, you know, 2 years ago, June 1st, I was sitting with a blank, you know, computer screen and we had to get a movie, you know, basically done by September 30th. And that's not a lot of time for a feature film. And with the casting, we had to cast it very quickly. It wasn't super easy because, you know, there are still actors that are uncomfortable doing scenes with men that are affectionate or of a sexual nature. It's still not just slam dunk. Sometimes, yeah, I had two actors that told me, you know, I'm just too nervous with these scenes. I'm just not comfortable doing it. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. And
yeah,
so
you're
what
more power to it. Dude, you're at
this is the thing
that you're in, you know, and I hate to tell you,
yeah,
but,
I mean,
theater, come on, you know.
Well, yeah, and the actors that we got, I was so fortunate because we looked at about 400 different resumes,
wow.
I would say, total, you know, about 400. And the ones that we picked, the ones that we got, were fortunately pretty much the ones that I really wanted. They were all the ones that I wanted, and just getting those schedules figured out was really lucky. And by the time I had the cast in place, they were all absolutely game. They were ready. They were excited. They wanted to do the movie passionately. They just couldn't have been better. I mean, they never complained. And they had, you know, tough shooting schedules. They had to be ready. They had to deliver. We didn't have a ton of takes, you know, to get it right. They had to do it in a short amount of time and get it and do it well. And they were excellent to work with. They were professional. They were nice. They were fun. They rolled with the punches when they needed to. And we had a great experience. We really did. I didn't really intend this, but it was great to see at the end, once we had finalized it, that we had a really nice diverse cast. They're not a bunch of, you know, cardboard cutouts, you know, carved out of cream cheese type people. They're a very diverse cast, and it's all the better for it.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you.
So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique.com. LapothecaryUnique.com.
I think so too. I think so too. It wasn't caricatures. There wasn't the tropes. I guess that's the new word everybody's using. These tropes that you would expect. You know what I mean? They expect mm-hmm. because that's what you see a lot. Not expect yeah. because that's anyway. I'm not trying to dig myself into
well,
a hole.
Luckily, I think we avoided it because we weren't casting them just for their identity. We were casting them because they brought something that was surprising and interesting, and that really worked for the character. And so I think that's how we were able to avoid that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Story, I loved the ending of this. I don't want to go into too much detail of it, of course, but I think that was done well. And I think it was done – I really related to Corey Jackson at the end there on how tired, you know, he had been through it, you know, and, just worn out,
oh, yeah.
man.
Very exhausting. It's emotionally man. Exhausting work, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, you know, and it's funny because at the beginning he's, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, I expected something different and da-da-da-da. Well, there you go. Be careful what you ask for. fantastic.
Oh, so, very much so.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm glad
was
you
this,
said that.
Is it
that,
out
that's
yet?
That's very true.
Oh.
Say that again?
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. No. You're absolutely right. And I like that thought because it is, you know, because he kind of was, you know, oh, I wish there was more action happening here. And boom. It was. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, is the film out now or is it coming out? What's the – how can people watch this?
Sure.
How can we get
it right now? Right now you can pre-order it on iTunes. Which you can certainly do. Which yeah, go ahead and do that. Who knows when it officially launches on June 11th, next Tuesday, a week from today. Who knows? The price might go up. So I don't know. But yeah, definitely you can pre-order it on iTunes for sure. I know on June 11th it will also, I believe, be on demand for sure. They call it, you know, transactional video on demand, you know, where you can purchase mm-hmm. it and it's there. I think also it's going to be, it'll probably, I would guess it'll be also on Amazon for purchase. It'll also be available on DVD for sure, DVD or Blu-ray. It'll be on that as well on the 11th. So people can order it in actual physical media. If they want to,
nice.
But certainly iTunes will be the easiest place, I would think, to order it, and you can just pre-order it real easy, and
oh, absolutely.
Easy to find that link. You can go to ditrfilms.com, and there's an easy link for you to click on and go to the pre-order page if you want.
Nice. And you know, one of the cool things about iTunes, I didn't know they also did this with film. Years ago, I used to have a gallery in San Diego, and I had a gal that worked for me, and she was, about a year ago, she was having a rough day. She was going through a big heartbreak, you know, and she's young, one of those,
ooh.
Nothing like when you're young, those big,
we've all been there.
Oh, yeah. And, but she was having a rough day, so I made her a mixtape on iTunes. I bought these tracks and just put it all together and sent it to her email. You know, we're in the future now, baby. And but then the other day, this is about a month ago, I ordered a film on iTunes. I bought a film on iTunes as a gift and sent it to somebody as a gift. All you need is their email address. And it's really cool, especially, you know, if you're at work and you forgot somebody's birthday. You know, yeah, you can get them a card, whatever. Everybody's going to do that. Get them the film. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that's into that likes a good thriller, this is a good thriller, is what I'm saying. Pre-order that and send it to them. You'll be the star, man.
It'll definitely
You'll be the star.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something different than they've seen before. That's for sure. I've had a couple of friends of mine kind of call it you know, an independent version of like Eyes Wide Shut. And I think that's kind of an interesting, interesting comparison, which I'll take it, you know, of course. I'm not going to turn that compliment down, you know.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And I loved it was set in the tech industry, you know, that was another part of it, which was, you know, another very competitive, pressure job. Cool.
Well, you know, also too, some people have asked me, a couple of interviews have asked me, you know, are you just, are you just trying to dump on, you know, dating apps and stuff like that and technology? And I'm not, you know, it's not that at all. It's not about criticizing that or judging it. I really don't have any judgment about that at all. I mean, almost all of us by now have used dating apps in one way or another. And so there's nothing wrong with it. But I do say, you know, one thing that I did see is that it had the potential, you know, to be abused by if people were devious enough and motivated enough and intelligent enough, you could abuse them. There is a way. It is kind of a cautionary tale a little bit that, yes, you know, these dating apps exist, but don't just dismiss them as, you know, whatever. I mean, they should be used with caution, with your eyes open, because our lead character, Danny, you know, sees all these red flags and he decides to ignore them. You know, he makes the conscious choice to ignore these red flags that keep popping up to him, and there are consequences to that. So that's also kind of what I guess the message of the film is trust your inner instincts. You know, when something doesn't feel right, you got to listen to that. And a lot of us like to ignore that at times, just in the name of being in love with somebody, you know?
Well, and it's, you know, everybody, that's the carrot that everybody wants, you know? Oh, and you see that, you know, daily, you know, we all have those friends and they're going, man, what are you doing with this person? You know, they're in love and they ain't going to listen to anything you say. Yeah, it's just how that goes. Crazy. Outstanding film, though. Outstanding film. Well, I wanted to ask you, too. Let me ask you this, Mark.
Sure.
Plans for the next project. I know we're talking about Crisis Hotline and everything right now, but I have to ask because I want to see more of your work.
Excellent. Well, yes, we're pretty far along in the development of our next film. It's called The Lucidrin Experiment. It's a sci-fi thriller. Totally sci-fi, very, it's not an LGBT thriller, it's a sci-fi thriller, and we've already got, a good chunk of the cast in place. The script is now, after we took more time with this script, Mark Lunas and I both co-wrote this, and it's about draft 10, I think, so, but now we got it, it's all good, but it's about it's about two scientists who are married to each other. And they have invented a drug that automatically induces lucid dreams in anyone who takes it. And what happens is there's definitely a dark side to that happening. And I'll just leave you with that to say the least. But it's really twisty. It's really interesting. You haven't seen it before. I guarantee it. It's really fun, and I'm hoping, you know, because we were fortunate enough with Crisis Hotline to pair up with High Octane Pictures, who are distributing it, and they've been great so far. They've just been great. Really enjoy working with them so far, and hopefully we can get them excited about this one after Crisis Hotline comes out, because this is a really, really fun sci-fi thriller with dreams and lots of twists and lots of surprises, and even some, I won't say, but a couple of actually name actors, people that you've heard of. So interested in it. So now it's just about putting the rest of the pieces in place, hopefully. And we've got Dante Yor again back to shoot it. So hopefully you'll be seeing that, soon.
That's fantastic. I can't wait. I've been a sci-fi fan for, you know, since I was knee high to a tall Indian, and I love that more of it's being made now. And I don't know if that's, you know, the success of the superhero films or you know, what the deal is. But it's good to see as a fan, you know, it's great to see.
Yeah. And the, you know, the other thing too, that I want to bring to some of the work, like another thing that people have said about Crisis Hotline that have given me feedback on it, they said, you know, what they liked about it, it was mature and it was intelligent. I always assume the audience isn't stupid. I think audiences don't get enough credit, and so I don't dumb my movies down ever for an audience. And that's what I want to, you know, hopefully continue doing. And I certainly didn't do that with Crisis Hotline. I think I show a lot of respect for the audience. And I want to do that again with Lucidryn. The Lucidryn experiment is there's a lot of you got to pay attention to it. And you know, I've always said Crisis Hotline is best viewed when you can watch it all the way through in one sitting. I think that's
right.
The best way to watch it. And the same thing with the Lucidryn experiment. I think if you stop it and go and, you know, get some ice cream or something and come back, you could lose things, or you could maybe miss something. That's what I shoot for as well.
With Crisis Hotline, I will say this. I don't know how you could stop it and get up and go get some ice cream. I was sucked in, man. I was into it.
Well, that's definitely my goal is to do that for sure.
It's very mission accomplished, sir. Mission accomplished. Well, very, very good. And I know I've kept you, we're up against the time a little longer, but you're fascinating to talk to, and this is a fascinating film. I really, really enjoyed this. And I want everybody to get out there and definitely pre-order this, and you're going to want to see this, man. I'm telling you right now. Good stuff. Very, very cool. And, you know, I'm going to say this, Mark, you already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You are real, real good at it. You know?
Well, thank you so much, Jamie. I can promise you I will keep at it. I'm knee deep in it now, and there's no turning back.
Nice. Love it. See, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's so funny. Like, I was telling somebody, a younger person the other day, I said, man, when you figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing, things just happen, and for the good, you know. And the opposite is true, too. When you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing, man, all kinds of roadblocks and mudslides and everything fall on you, and it's just that's a tough go. So figure that out. My advice to any young people out there, figure that out as quick as you can, because you can get a lot more done. Oh, that's awesome. Well, very, very cool. And, of course, we'll have links up. And we'll be putting a link up, too, to the iTunes page, ladies and gentlemen. We have links up right now to your production company page, I believe, DITRfilms.com/crisis. And the DITR Films Facebook page. But we'll also have, as soon as the show's over, ladies and gentlemen, a link to the direct iTunes where you can get this pre-order and whatnot. And so we'll make sure that happens. And as always, I'd like to remind people, our links, this is the live show now. Of course, the show will be converted to a podcast and pushed out everywhere. When that happens, our links follow however you're listening to the podcast in the future, there'll be a link you can click on and get right to it. So that's kind of cool. Ain't technology fun? I love it when it works. Very, very good. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. I really appreciate it. Mr. Mark Schwab, everybody.
Oh, I had a great time, Jamie. I love it.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me on, Jamie. This was awesome. I'll come on again for Lucidryn.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very cool. Well, keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to get this out and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, this show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out, as I said, on all the social media platforms and podcasting platforms. We're on like 160 now, and like I said, the links all follow and everything. The big one is Apple Podcasts. If you are listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor and hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page, And it makes my life so much easier when I'm talking to our advertisers. I really appreciate it. Keeps lights on around here. Very, very cool. Well, that's it for us today. We will be back tomorrow, same time, 2 o'clock here on the East Coast, 11 a.m. out on the West Coast. We've got the executive producer of a really cool new series on television series on Amazon Prime called Bunkheads. It's funny, man. It's funny stuff. These kids are living in a bunker after the zombie apocalypse happens. So and they get very sick of each other. It's a funny show, and we'll be talking with the executive producer of that tomorrow. So tune in for that. Have a great day, Mark. What do you got going on this afternoon? You're probably working, right?
Well, I've got a meeting about the Lustrin experiment, actually, with my co-producer on Crisis Hotline, the most excellent Tim Sika. We have a power lunch coming up.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you guys keep doing what you're doing and have a good meeting, and we will see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks, the Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.